The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
We've got something else to talk about, which is what happens when you purchase something that you're not quite happy with.
Yeah, indeed, Manisha. If you've ever bought something, there is probably a time when you were not happy with at least one of your purchases. And who do you turn to when you have a dispute, especially when it comes to buying banking or insurance products?
Yeah, this kind of thing is never a pleasant experience, is it? And it can sometimes escalate to expensive legal battles. But there is an alternative that is relatively more affordable and accessible. That is the Financial Industry Disputes Resolution Centre, or FIDREC.
Yes, indeed. So let's find out more about that. I'd like to introduce Eunice Chua. She's the CEO of FIDREC. Welcome to the Breakfast Huddle.
Good morning. Good morning. A very warm, pleasant environment in the studio this morning.
Oh, it's great to have you here. But you're talking about something that can be unpleasant, aren't you? So give us a background to FIDREC. And it was set up in 2005. What was its original mission? And how has it changed the way things are done after, 15 years? We're in 2020 now.
Yeah, so FIDREC was set up to really address the complaints that consumers have against financial institutions. It's meant to be a one-stop avenue because before FIDREC, people with complaints against banks would have to go to the consumer mediation unit at the Association of Banks, and those with complaints against insurance companies would have to go to the Insurance Dispute Resolution Organization. So FIDREC really provides a one-stop avenue for any kind of a financial dispute to be resolved.
I think there are a lot of people, aren't there, Eunice, who they might have a difficulty with some sort of a service that they've received, but they sort of feel like the organisation they're dealing with is too big and too unwieldy and intimidating. So if they did have to file a dispute, what would be the process? How would they come to you? How would it start?
So it's really quite easy to file a complaint at FIDREC. You can actually call, you can send us an email, you can even come to our physical office. When some of our staff will help you through the process, really a dispute starts at FIDREC by the filing of a dispute resolution form. This form is available online. It really asks some simple questions so that we can understand what kind of complaint you have against the financial institution. And once we verify that this complaint is one that falls within FIDREC's ambit, we will take on the case. And following from that, there is a two-stage process. The first port of call is mediation. Mediation is a process where you have an expert neutral who will help to facilitate negotiations. So Manisha, you were saying that if a consumer feels intimidated because they are dealing with a large organization, the presence of the mediator can help to put that consumer at ease because the mediator is very experienced in financial products and will be able to make suggestions, offer recommendations for the consumer to take into consideration whether or not this is something that is acceptable for them. So mediation, we really hope that at the end of it, there is a settlement agreement in that maybe some kind of compromise is achieved. This could be whether some form of compensation, it could be an apology from the representative that didn't offer that great service. It could even be the consumer coming to a realization that, well, this was a lesson learned and they feel like at least they have been heard, they have gotten their say, they have the response that they need, they understand the situation better and they have their peace.
Well, I think we've all been there. We can all relate to this, but the big question that I have is how much does it cost to file a dispute and how long does it typically take to resolve the issue? Because we're saying, you know, is it worth it? I'm going to have to wait 5 years to get some sort of resolution and, you know, am I going to have to dig into my own pocket?
Well, you'll be glad to know, Jason, that mediations, the service that we offer, is free for the consumer. So the consumer doesn't have to pay. Really, we are a service that is subsidized by the financial industry. As for adjudication, which is the second step, assuming there is no settlement at mediation or the consumer still feels unhappy with what has been offered, that adjudication phase will cost the consumer $50 plus GST.
Well, that's not much.
No, not Oh, it's really just meant to be a sum to help the consumer to recognize that they are making a commitment to the next stage of the process.
Okay, Eunice, yeah. I want to jump in and maybe put you on the spot a little bit because let's get into the juice of this. What are some of the disputes that cross your desk?
Okay, so our two big types of disputes. So one has to do with market conduct type disputes. And these are the disputes where the consumer says, I bought this product, but you, the representative, gave me some false information, right? You told me that there was a guaranteed return, but there wasn't, right? Or it could be insufficient disclosure. There were key features of this product that you didn't tell me that, for instance, I might have to make a top-up, right, if there was a market downturn, or that the interest rate is a floating one. It could change based on various factors. Or there could be situations where what we call mis-selling, which is that you sold me an unsuitable product. I'm a retiree. I have no source of foreseeable income. And you sold me this product that has premiums, you know, escalating in the next 10, 20 years. Yeah. So these are the sorts of common cases that we handle.
But how much do Singaporeans complain? What is the volume of work that you have to deal with every year?
Well, over the last 5 years, we have been receiving about 1,000 complaints each year. At the last financial year, it was about 1,200. So this has been sort of stable for the past 5 years. Our kind of peak season was after the global financial crisis, of course, in 2008.
I'm always complaining about millennials, and I'm always wondering, I mean, I guess older generations always complain about the younger generations, but which age profile makes up the largest group of complainants, and is there a reason for it? And is there differences between the different age groups in terms of the product group involved in their claims?
Yeah, so most of our complainants are from the age group of 51 and above. And perhaps that is not surprising because, well, these are the more well-resourced individuals. Many of them are, you know, having amassed some income over their working career, are now turning to investments and other financial transactions. But we do have a significant number of cases where the age is between 31 to 50.
Mm.
And for this group of complainants, the kind of products involved are usually life insurance products, particularly health and accident insurance. So this is the age group which is kind of active and on the go and looking to for some protection in terms of insurance. And for those that are 61 to 70, you know, kind of the older end of the above 50s, for them, life insurance with profit policies, so your traditional life insurance profit policy, perhaps even an endowment at the end, this is their priority. And for those above 70, their focus really is on consumer or personal finance, meaning your credit cards, your deposits with the banks and so on. So really, at this age, it's not so much about investing. It is really about maintaining.
Oh, it's really interesting that it's really quite distinct for each of those age groups, isn't it, as to which products we're talking about. Let's talk about success rates of mediation to avoid adjudication, which is obviously stage two. When is that, you know, sort of, that's when you get more lawyers involved in the stage two process. So what are the rates of success along that pathway?
Okay, before talking about the rates of success, just to clarify that FIDREC, one reason why we're so low cost is because there's no lawyers involved.
Right.
So the consumer comes on their own. If they need some assistance, perhaps if they can't speak English fluently, they can have a nominee or someone of their choosing. This person could be a lawyer, really, but the idea is that you are not paying for legal representation. So same with the financial institutions.
Okay.
When they come for a mediation, you know, like I said, sometimes the conclusion at mediation may not be a settlement, but we generally have 85% of our cases who conclude at the mediation stage. Only 15% go on to that second stage where they have to actually present some arguments and their case before an adjudicator.
We're speaking to Eunice Chua. She's from the Financial Industry Disputes Resolution Centre, or FIDREC. And I think Ryan Huang has a question or two he'd like to present here.
Hey, Eunice. So I'm curious about a couple of things. So FIDREC, of course, helps to resolve financial disputes between the buyer and the seller. So along the way, it hires adjudicators, and some of these work for banks or used to work for banks. So how do you avoid that conflict of interest? Because at the same time, FIDREC's funding comes from the membership fees that these banks pay.
Yeah, so of course it's a concern for the consumer because this is my shot at trying to get a fair resolution. Am I going to get a fair hearing? So for us, independence is really important. Our board of directors comprises of a mix of industry professionals, but the majority are independent in the sense that they are either not from the financial industry or their connection with the financial industry has been broken many, many years ago. In terms of funding, yes, we do get funding from the financial institutions, but really this is a requirement from the Monetary Authority of Singapore. It is a way that the authority has assisted to set up a framework for consumers to have affordable solutions. As for the adjudicators, well, they are an independent panel, so they are not our employees. We don't actually hire them. We pay them a small honorarium to adjudicate and give some grounds of decision. And these people are either retired industry professionals, so that connection with the industry should have been broken for quite a number of years, at least 5 to 10 years. For the lawyers who are on our panel, well, if there is any situation where they perceive to be a conflict, maybe they have acted for that bank before, they would disclose it. And if the consumer or the financial institution is not comfortable, they can express that.
Okay, on the topic of accountability and transparency, Eunice, so I understand consumers are not allowed to disclose the case's proceedings or outcomes. So I'm just curious, why is that? Because won't doing that allow more transparency, consistency when it comes to the judgment of cases? When you look at how, you know, court cases are reported and people can see how the decisions were made.
You are right, Ryan, because, you know, law as we know it, we have to refer to past cases for consistency. In FIDREC, the situation is a little different because we do have to balance between the confidentiality, which would facilitate a frank conversation, and the trust between the financial institution and their clients, as well as transparency and accountability. So how we've tried to strike that balance is to protect the whole process with confidentiality so that everybody can be very frank. They can make offers that they know will not be, you know, out in public and, you know, maybe cause, the opening the floodgates of a series of complaints wanting to get the same kind of response. But then on the other hand, we do give the grounds of decision. We would read it out to both of the parties so they know where they stand and why the adjudicator had decided in a certain way. That is how we have tried to strike that fine balance.
Eunice, do you find that, is it the case that someone who's come to you would have to accept a settlement, or are they free to get a second opinion?
They are free to get a second opinion. So it's completely voluntary. And even if the adjudicator gives a decision the consumer is not happy with, the consumer does not have to accept. Really, the interesting thing is the adjudicator's decision only binds the financial institution. So the consumer has that choice. If he or she is not happy, they can go to another dispute resolution avenue, and what has happened at FIDREC does not affect their rights at all.
I think it's a great system, and I guess it's pretty easy to get information on this, right?
Yes, you can visit our website, www.fidrec.com.sg.
Wow, that's a really interesting discussion. I know Ryan was giggling because it's the plus 51s that are getting the most complaints. And
that's you?
And pointing the finger at me, but really like to thank Eunice Chua, the CEO of FIDREC, to being here in the studio on the Breakfast Huddle. Really enlightening chat that we've had.
Thank you. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Manisha and Ryan.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.